Radio 2024 edition. New year, new energy, new plans. Same old decrepit hosts. That would be me, Django Nudo.
And me, the Smut Peddler.
Well, we are currently disrupting cult picks with what has proven to be a incredibly popular, I have to say, theme month. It's the Mike Vrani Memorial Month for all of January, in which we're showcasing films that were favorites of the legendary founder of Something Weird Video. And it's been 10 years since we lost Mike, way too soon. But are you surprised? I mean, this outpouring of love and appreciation for Mike and Mike's films.
I'm not surprised because I have read the memorial Facebook page for Mike, and I know how much he meant to a lot of people. Yeah. But a lot of people have really acknowledged that by commenting on a bunch of different Facebook pages and Facebook groups where we are updating about these two films that we are actually presenting every day in this theme. So all in all, 62 films this month.
Yes, half of which are completely new to Cult Picks and half of which are favorites of the over 200 Something Weird Video films that we already have on there. But this episode, it's looking back, specifically back to the year 2023, the year that's been and gone, and what it was that people, members on Cult Picks, were watching. We now have not one, but two top 10 lists, kind of like Santa's Christmas list of kids. One list of naughty and one of nice. So how do we define the naughty films?
Use the definition. I think it's the Norwegian censorship that actually was the first one quoted films with organs in motion.
I love that description. Yes.
And organs I'm not talking in motion. About the music instrument.
No. Not brass organs, but human organs in motion.
And I think it's a very good one because that is, to me, the difference between soft and hard.
Yes.
And naughty and nice. Yeah.
So we had the top 10 naughty and the top 10 nice. And the reason we split them up is because, well, actually, I had a song selected earlier that kind of explains it. So why don't you play the song for us, Smut Peddler?
The internet is really, really great.
For porn.
I got a fast connection so I don't have to wait.
For porn.
What? There's always some new site.
For porn.
I browse all day and night.
For porn.
It's like I'm surfing at the speed of light.
For porn.
Trekkie.
The internet is for porn.
Trekkie.
The internet is for porn.
What are you doing?
Why you think the net was born? Porn, porn, porn.
The internet was indeed made for porn. And not surprisingly, people like to watch organs in motion films. So we didn't want to confuse or mix up or have them crowd out the very many other good films that people also watched. And by just having a organs in motion film top of the list every week, which happens most weeks. So now we have the two lists. And what we're going to do today is we're going to look back at the top 10 films for each category. So we're going to have the top 10 nice and the top 10 naughty films.
The interesting thing is that I could never in a million years have guessed on any of those 20 films. Maybe a few of them, but not many of them. And this goes back also to the discussion we had with our consigliere, the Chilean.
The Chilean.
Who once said, Cult Picks is not for you guys.
Nope.
It's for your fans. And my God, the fans are even dirtier than we are.
And when you say dirty, you don't just mean the organs, you mean the quality. I mean, these are dirty pictures. They are scratched. They are faded. They are not pristine HDR 4K Dolby Vision quadraphonic Atmos sound restorations.
Some mastered from VHS. Even
proudly,
yeah. It's you'd think that the film geeks, the film nerds, would be super high-tech guys who are really into 4K or high def or something. But here it seems that content goes before quality.
Yeah. And if a film is a good film, it stays a good film, even on VHS. Without further ado, shall we count down from 10 to 1? The Cult Picks 2023 nice list.
We had a nudist theme week. And we found so many films. And I think a lot of them, most of them came from Something Weird Video.
Yes.
And on the 10th spot is not any of the more famous ones, like the nudist films by Herschel Gordon Lewis or Doris Wishman.
Doris Wishman,
there's a complete obscurity.
Yeah.
Number 10, Eve and the Merman.
Even just the name cracks me up.
Yeah, and I had a fun time expressing it with there's no talent behind or in front of the camera. But I mean, no famous talent, of course.
No, there's poop. No, in fact, if I put you on the spot, name the director of Eve and the Merman.
I don't remember.
Chev Reuton, only because I'm looking it up right now.
Thank you.
And that is the one and only film of his we have, so there's no Chev Reuton theme week, unlike Doris Wishman or any of them. But Eve and the Merman is indeed our 10th film on the top 10 nice list.
Why?
Why? Of all the nudity you could choose on the site, why? Yeah. Is it maybe they thought there was some real merman action in it?
So that could be the case. So anyways, it's about three sun-worshipping girls who go to a Florida nudist camp, but they want to find an island on their own. They go to the Caribbean and go to an island voluntarily where women are said to disappear. Very strange.
Mm. Yes. I mean, if not that we question or second-guess our members' choices, but if you had to pick a nudist film yourself, which one would it be?
Probably House on Bear Mountain.
Yeah,
because it has monsters and boobs.
That's true. That's true. I'd go for Nude on the Moon because I like science fiction and boobs.
Yes. So there you have the genre mixes are the common denominator there. Good.
Even the Merman. What have you got to play from the film for us?
We have a little cheesy intro music from the film.
It's a classic, perhaps the only classic on the top 10.
I would say it's the only classic on the top 20. But no, it's actually one film that is a recurring film when checking out like Facebook pages for horror or for genre film or for any kind of exploitation film. This is a film that people really enjoy. And also, we can divulge that right away, this is the only film that's not from the US or from Sweden in all of the 20 films we have.
True.
Because it's from Mexico.
That's too much of a spoiler. It is indeed. And it has pretty much a bit of everything, as I said. It's got nudity. It's got non-exploitation. It's got blasphemy, Satanism, and sexual hysteria, each one of which could be a theme week in its own right. And I think, of course, we've already had Satanic Panic. Maybe we should revisit that. But non-exploitation is on my wish list for 2024 theme weeks.
Yeah. We've got a couple. We have some contacts. We hope we can get some rights.
What? In the Vatican?
In the Vatican, exactly. But so this is Alucarda, the Daughter of Darkness. And it's a wordplay. So Alucarda, well, we won't give it away. Figure it out yourself.
Beelzebub, Belphegor, Astaroth. Beelzebub. Oh my God! Alucarda, please! Oh my Lord, help her! Alucarda, for God's sake! Alucarda, stop it, please! Alucarda! Alucarda, please! God, catch her!
shall make a pact and seal it with our blood. We will make them pay.
Now call them. Call them. Call them.
Belzebub. Belzebub. Astronaut.
Number 8. Not a horror film, but slasher.
Yes, and this, I must say, is due to the genius of Django Nudo, our exercise, our aerobics theme week.
Yes,
that was
again
2 years ago, I think.
Revisit. Yeah.
Yeah.
I well overdue for another revisit. It keeps cropping up, especially in the 80s, because, you know, it was the age of aerobics and it seeped into everything. It's
leg warmers and big hair.
Leg warmers and big hair and funky music or pumping music. You know, it's in porn films, it's in horror films, it's in, of course, you know, straight to video, do it at home.
Yeah.
But this one is Killer Workout, aka Aerobicide from 1987. Again, a VHS quality copy, not a finished, beautiful 4K restoration, although I think, I could be wrong, I think Shout Factory might be coming out with a restored version, which would be great. So let's sign them up and have that one on there. But it's perfectly enjoyable in the copy that we have. And the plot is, it's about a workout studio and a slasher. And what I love about it, and I don't think this spoiler is, it's not a knife, it's not an axe, it's not a meat hook, it's... Well, maybe you have to watch it to find out. But yeah, like I said, it's got everything. Cheesy 80s, spandex, the big hair. And you put it very well. It's the Jane Fonda meets Jason of horror exploitation aerobic films.
And I think that's very fitting because rewatching the beginning of the film, I realized that the theme song from the film that it all starts with, it's close to John Carpenter's Halloween classic Halloween theme.
Yeah.
It's embarrassing.
Yeah. I know. Hit that Yamaha hard.
Yeah.
You know.
Todd Haynes, shame on you. That's the composer.
Not to be confused with Todd Haynes, but yes.
Yeah.
Well, if you're gonna steal,
he was very inspired. Let's say that.
Let's say that. But, you know, if you've got to steal, steal from the best. 7, a personal favorite of Smut Peddlers.
Yes, indeed. There's so much good things to talk about in this film, and we really should try to get it restored because the master is so. But it's a favorite director, Torgny Wickman, favorite actress, Solveig Andersson, and it's the only Swedish film with the tagline, A Study in Fear, Sex, and Magic.
Again.
And I think we can also say that we have a lot of fans in Sweden, so I will spoil this. This is one out of three films on the top 10 nice list directed by Torgny Wickman.
Yes.
And the story is a priest and his pregnant wife live in a rectory in the countryside, and her friend Hedvig comes to visit, but she's a voodoo priestess.
Oh, no.
So there's a lot of bad things happening, and there's lots and lots of nudity and a severed head. It's just lots and lots of stuff. But it's interesting. Let's talk a little bit about the people in the film.
Yeah.
Because Well, you and I, we always joke about how Stellan Skarsgård has basically populated Hollywood with his sons.
Offspring.
Yep. How many are there? Five?
Four? Five, of which I think three are Hollywood's active, at least.
And so there is actually someone to compete with him, and that's Hans Wahlgren, a Swedish actor who is... I think he's a father and grandfather of a bunch of artists, singers, influencers, you name it. So I think he's almost up there with Stellan.
Yeah.
And and his wife in the film, Anna, is played by Anita Sanders, whose real name was Johansson or something else, Swedish. Yep. A Swedish actress who was in a lot of Italian exploitation movies, and she only did this one in Sweden.
Very
and then, of course, Hedvig, the voodoo priestess. She was a very promising actress in the 70s. She went to theater school. Everyone thought she had a brilliant, promising career. And she was in a number of really enjoyable sexploitation films like Eva or Swedish and Underage, The Lustful Vicar, and Wide Open.
Mm.
And she was gorgeous and talented. And also she was in Buono Vibenio's thriller, A Cruel Picture.
Yes.
But mid-career, she became a newborn Christian, born-again Christian.
Yeah.
And if you read her memoirs, it's a short book of about 100 pages. There is one page about her film career.
Oh.
And she's not happy about it at all. And basically, so that's all she's famous for.
Why focus on the famous bits?
Yeah.
Let's focus on God.
And so on seventh place, we have Fear Has a Thousand Eyes, also called Senses Sorceress. And we're spoiling it completely because here we hear Hedvig go completely bonkers, setting fire to the rectory.
Get this in.
Number six, a favorite of mine.
Yes.
It's Taking It Off from 1985, the 1980 sex comedy with none other than Kitty Natividad, who passed away, I think it was exactly a year ago. We had an in memoria to her.
Yeah.
And she plays Betty Big Once.
Or as I read all the time, Bigones. Bigones.
Bigones. That's Bigones. That's Italian. Bigones.
Sorry.
A stripper who wants to be an actress, but her boobs keep getting in the way. And boy, of course they get in the way because they are... Well, I have to say, I like this film not just because I like kittens' puppies. See what I did there? You know?
Yeah.
But because it gives her a chance to show off her comedy talent. And let's not forget, she was a performer. She was a burlesque dancer. She was a stripper, and she did sex films, and she did comedies, and she was really good at comedy. So in a way, it's kind of sad because this film is a funny version of her real life. You know, she could have been a great comedic actress, but I don't think you could get away with having that big boobs. It's lovely to see her get a spot in the top 10 of the nice films. And it is a comedy. You know, this is not one of the hardcore ones. I don't think we had many of those in the season of her film. So what clip have you got for us?
Well, it's an interesting sort of... I didn't know that this was a thing, but here she is having sex in a sea of popcorn.
Mm, I love popcorn.
Pig out, Colonel.
Ooh. Feel that, baby. That's my chain of command. I'm about to capture your beachhead.
Colonel, that's dessert. Let's have our appetizer first.
I can't wait for it, baby.
I call it my kumquat popover surprise.
Ooh. Nothing says loving like putting something in your oven.
Yes.
I must confess, until tonight, I never ate popcorn unless it was at the movies.
Numero cinco. Numero cinq.
Number
fünf.
Yeah.
Zero in and scream. I think this is the biggest surprise to me because it has recurred over our almost 3 years as one of the most popular films, often on the number one spot.
Yeah, last year's number one, and it's not a hardcore film. No. There's nudity in it, but...
And it's not one of the most famous films by Lee Frost. No. He made some very, very famous ones.
Nobody famous in it. There's nothing... Mm. I mean, it's got some funny camera tricks. That's about it. But I don't know, maybe it's got a cult reputation that we're not aware of. Maybe people seek it out. Although, again, it doesn't seem to come... We get a list from Just Watch, which shows us what films people have searched for when they found our site or which led them to our site. And that's not it. In fact, we should have done that top list as well, which keeps being topped by Carne. With Isabella Sarli and Boerman. But not Zero In and Scream. And yet, last year's number one, this year still in the top five. Yeah. So people obviously still watching it, still finding it.
Yeah. So it's a story of a loony sniper who kills couples in swimming pools in Hollywood Hills, basically.
Yeah, it's an original. And it was, you know, coming on the back of, well, a few years after the Manson killings, but, you know, with all the other nutcases, serial killers that were just sweeping America. I guess it touched a nerve back then, and it's still finding that nerve somehow. But the fact that it keeps coming back, it sometimes is number one again. I can't explain it.
No.
Write in if you have a theory about it. Yeah. We would love to hear your serial killer shooter theory. Let's listen to a clip from Zero In and Scream, 1971.
What just happened is your fault. You're the one, not me. I really wanted to make love to you. If you call the police, I'll get you. There won't be any escape. I've never killed a woman. But so help me God, I'll kill you.
Number four, and it's a, dare I say, proper film, or properly restored film.
Proper film, properly restored, in CinemaScope. It was never, ever released on home entertainment formats in scope. It was a pan and scan, and it looked really horrible. And now the Swedish Film Institute has restored it. And it is also, even if it probably was a kind of a low-budget film, it was still in a historic setting. It was a costume comedy and lots and lots of costumes, and they took them off all the time as well. But in a big castle. So I would say it's pretty sort of historically accurate in terms of the fashion.
I wouldn't have guessed that it was low budget because the opening scene of the witch burning and the medieval, and the extras and the outfits, it seems pretty pretty big for a scene. So, and I'd never feel that skimps on it, but you're right, because it's beautifully restored, and it is because it is in its proper formatting, it's a sumptuous visual treat to watch it and hear it.
Yeah. And the storyline where you were talking about the burning of a witch, it's very gruesome in the beginning because they are burning this witch and she's cursing the priest who's behind it and for generations to come. And so a couple of hundred years later, this very, very shy and quiet priest wakes up with a chronic hard-on.
Yeah.
And he's about to meet the archbishop, of course.
Again, it's... And again, I can't remember, maybe it was Dr. Retro who said this, but it's very much in the style of the Carry-On films, although maybe a little bit more sophisticated, well, let's say that, blasphemous. And it's got English subtitles, we should say. So it makes for, you know, good viewing wherever you're watching from. But it's a film that could work in almost any country that has priests, or especially Catholics, but even these ones.
And the interesting thing, if you look at how it was promoted in different countries, the Italian poster, he has a Catholic priest's shirt on.
Oh yeah.
Which is not how Swedish priests looked, but they needed to adapt it.
Yes.
Well, best of all, in it, I think it has a lot of beautiful Swedish actresses, including favorite Solveig Anderson, but also co-starring Diana Kjær, who we also have had in a bunch of films, and Kim Andersson, who
technically Danish,
was actually very famous for being in alternative left-wing theater groups.
Yes.
Again, there was no difference between high and low back in the day.
No.
And we also have, which I think is really interesting, Magali Noel, who had been the year before in Fellini's Satyricon. And 3 years later, 1973, she was in Fellini's Amarcord as Gradiska, this beautiful woman dressed in red that all the boys covet, and they all are so into her.
It's all boobs.
Yeah. And then I read that she was also in the Tropic of Cancer, this film version, in 1970.
Yep.
And here comes the kicker. Another woman who was in the film was Mona Månsson, later Mona Månsson Ivarsson, who married the producer Inge Ivarsson. And having known him, he told me the story of the shoot of the film, because he went back and forth between the trailers of Mona Månsson and Magali Noel. During the shoot. Yeah. So it was he had a very busy schedule.
Clearly, yes. Quality acting on the male side as well. Some nudity there, but we have Jarl Borssén as the priest. And we have Danish comedian Dirk Passer, who of course we know from Reptilicus, and Here Cometh the Berserks, also on Cult Picks. The biggest talent of all was probably the musician.
Yes.
In it. The great late Cornelis Vreeswijk, Dutch-born but firmly Swedish troubadour, folk musician, very popular contemporary music, but he fits perfectly here as kind of oldie, yay oldie setting. And he pops up throughout.
He's a narrator,
basically,
but he sings songs about, you know, taking the story forward.
Allt som det var en gång borta i kyrkoherden fjong, sjukdomen botades till sist, och nu är allting ganska trist.
We are in the top three.
Yes,
ladies and gentlemen.
And number three, and this is interesting, and we will hear more in this vein later on, is as a compilation. It's a trailer compilation called 42nd Street Forever Volume 1. And there's a whole bunch of them coming out from our partners at Synapse Films. And this one really mixes, and I think even if we now say that this is the nice list, I think there is some naughtiness in two of these.
There may be a little bit. Things.
Yeah.
But that's not why people watch them.
It's trailers for vintage horrors, exploitation, blaxploitation, Mondo, Roadshow, Eurosleaze, you name it. And this is the category we have, the subgenre we have called
background films for parties.
Thank you. Exactly.
Yes, yeah, we launched that genre
like that. Yeah.
Depends on what kind of party is. Search and rescue party, or whether it's
not safe for alcoholic office party.
Yeah. Definitely not safe for office party.
No.
But yes, and again, if you want to microdose the kind of true essence of cult films, then you could do a lot worse than putting one of these on, because they give you everything in small packages, you know, all the thrills without the boring bits that you have to fast forward through. And we've got this for a few things now. We have it also for European spy films. We have the intermission films, which was a theme just before Christmas. So for the youngsters on Cultpix with maybe a kind of TikTok abbreviated attention span, do this. In fact, we should relaunch 42nd Street for, or tell our good friends who do this, like just put it out as a series of TikTok videos.
That's true.
Believe us, it'll work.
It actually, and it says so much of how they promoted the films, and the clip I've chosen is so funny. It's a fake TV like TV news segment of a guy interviewing people coming out from a theater, and this couple that he's interviewing, they are sort of super Brooklyn-y or Queens-y in their how they talk, and they're so obviously actors, and they are interviewed, asked, how was the film you just saw? I Dismember Mama.
Oh yeah, it was a scary movie. Ah! I mean, he flipped out just when the girl took the axe and started to chop off the guy's goyons.
No, Harry, it was when the guy took the razor and cut off the girl's bazongi.
A movie that frightening, it actually drove a man insane. Oh yeah, scary as hell. Scared the piss out of the old lady.
What's the matter with you? We're on TV. You're going to get arrested, Mr. Uncouth. Ordinarily, we do not attend events of this cultural persuasion. We were going to the ballet tonight, but my old man seen these scary pictures was on.
Scared the piss out of her.
My bodily fluids was not affected in any way.
Top two.
The top two are the most astonishing surprises, both of them, to me. I cannot wrap my head around this.
Less for me, because I've been doing the top 10 list week in and week out. But yes, it's still, from an objective perspective, a bit of a surprise why these two films, given that all the films we have, and the fact that it's not Christina's derriere that people clearly want to see, it is Stellan's.
Yeah. And the thing with this film, we released this on DVD as a bonus film on another film.
I know. It doesn't even have its own film release. Maybe we're missing a trick here.
I don't know. Yeah, it's so odd. It was never released in Sweden at all. Theatrically. Mm-hmm. And the film is Inkräktarna, or The Intruders, from 1974. Again, Torgny Wickman. It's his third entry in the top 10.
Go, Torgny.
But this one with hardcore porn actors in it.
Yeah.
And we found one VHS tape from the UK, which is the soft version. Mm-hmm. That was the one we had on our DVD. And later on, we found the XXX US porn version, which is the image quality is even worse than the VHS rip.
Hard to believe. But and if we put them together, because they're available separately on Cultpix,
it
would probably push it to number one.
It's
if
true.
You add up if the two different of them, viewings of it.
You're right.
There are some films which we've got a hard version, a soft version. There are some films which we have a French, a German version, and an English version, and vice versa, German films that are available in an English version, in strangely slightly different cuts.
Yeah. And I think in the naughty list, we also have examples of R-rated and X-rated.
Yep, we do.
On the same film.
And we talked about earlier, a recent discovery is Porn Without the Porn. On YouTube, 30-minute versions of classics from the golden age of pornography without pornography.
Shall we talk a little bit about the actors? You have shall we say a fellow countryman, almost?
We do, my adopted country. We've got Chris Canyon, which is the nom de plume for Chris Chittle. He didn't just do this one when he was in Sweden, but he was also in Molly and Country Life.
Yep.
So old Chris got his willy out and about plenty in the Scandinavian summer. But of course, we know him.
He was also a pretty naughty character in all three films. He's not a very likable guy.
No, he's definitely cast as the, the knee in wrestling? Or is it elbow? Whatever, the bad guy. But known to millions and loved by millions as Eric Pollard in Emmerdale Farm, the long-running British soap opera, which features very, very little nudity.
Yeah.
And he's been doing that since 1986, I don't know. Is he still alive? I think so.
I think so, yeah. But has this been a discussion in the UK? Has it been known about his dirty
career? No, they... If they know about it, they seem as forgiving as people are of Stellan Skarsgård's youthful cock-waving. Maybe because there are no more really Sunday papers to splash up these kind of exposés, or maybe because nobody is that interested or it's that controversial. I don't know, is the short answer.
It's interesting, though. Very interesting, yeah. And then we have Jacqueline Laurent, a French actress who was also doing other stuff in Sweden, like Country Life. Also by Torgny Wickman, Bellamy, and Hangover by Bjorn Thunder. And she was also acting in France and Italy. And so she was also in our favorite director, Michel Lemoine's, a couple of his films, and also worked with Jess Franco.
Yeah, very hardworking. Then we have Jim Steffe from Austria. Yep. Again, several nudies and hardcores. Like Molly and Justine Juliet and Second Coming of Eve and Hangover, all of them cult picks. But he turned his back on acting later in life and walked on the path of the medicus as a doctor. I read here, therapy for alcoholics as a specialty. He must have learned a lot about it working in acting. At least
probably,
if he was with Cornelius.
And also, I just realized that he is also in a lead part in one of our Nikkatsu Sweden Poruno films.
Ah, which hopefully see the light of day in 2024.
Yes. He's in Blonde Animal.
And Stellan. Stellan being nude, being pretentious, young poet. And yeah, he's been in a lot of cult picks films and we've shamed him in public or tried to the best we could. Yep. Doesn't seem to be working. But the Stellan clan is now a force in Hollywood, and it all started here with The Intruders and other films. Actually, with Child Star before that, but we'll skip over that. Oh. Yeah, Anita, Swedish Nymphet, I, Summer Lover, both on cult picks. But it comes back to amaze me, the fact that, we're talking about the soft version because we're on the nice list, but, go and see all the insertions and the ejaculations in the XXX version. The fact that a film that didn't even get a proper release with Club Super 8, which is of such abysmal quality.
Let's be
honest about it. Not the making of the film, no aspirations on the filmmakers, but just the quality of the source material, that it is the number two on the nice list.
We have chosen a clip from the film, from the hardcore version, and you can guess that when you listen to it, is the sound of Stellan making love, accompanied by some romantic 70s music.
Have finally reached number one. Once again, it is a compilation film.
Yeah.
And one that keeps coming back. And one that, how many clues do we want to drop? There's two volumes of it as well.
Mm. And I would say this really symbolizes what we have been talking about. Even the title of it is comprised of that it's not restored whatsoever.
Yeah. Quality? We don't need no stinking quality.
Exactly. And it's also a haphazard mix of clips and the trailers and stuff from our friends at Vagrancy Films in London, Ontario, Canada. They also run a great convention, and me and Christina Lindberg were there and were fraternizing with lots of cool people from Cronenberg's Shivers and the Rocky Horror Picture Show and Maniac Cop. And also we had a table next to Evil Santa, a wonderful guy who has a year-round red suit and big Santa beard, but also scary contact lenses and vampire fangs, and he loves to pose with babies and take photos.
There you go. Evil Santa lives in London, Ontario. I did not know that, but yep. I feel happier for being informed of this.
But it's a fun mix, but it's truly a surprise that this has the number one spot.
So the film, we've beaten around the bush, or rather around the cock. The name of the film is Color Correct
My Cock.
Cock. CCC or CCMC. So it's a trailer and clip compilation done by our good friends at Vagrancy Film. And this is literally sweepings from the floor of the projection booths in old abandoned cinemas. I mean, they literally, maybe they drag the film some more back and forth before they sort of splice them together.
Yes, but it's love, isn't it? This is love for cinema to watch these things.
It's authentic.
Yeah.
You know? This is what a gate will do to a film once it's run through it about 500 times.
Yeah, the scratches faded, make it real.
Weave. Yeah. Yes, Color Correct My Cock keeps coming up in the top 10. And again, it is on the nice list because most of it, well, it's such a heady mix of different genres and films that it'd be difficult to categorize in any other way.
Definitely. Yeah, I think we have all genres listed for it, basically.
Yeah. We do.
The thing is also that the Vagrancy guys, they didn't have a DVD company. They didn't have a clue. They had submitted the film to another company, which shall not be named.
Nope.
And shall we listen a little bit to their background story?
It's this fucking thing.
There, you read it. I'm fucking...
Oh, fuck.
Read it out.
This ain't good.
Why? What now?
It's from a certain studio that shall rename nameless. Dear Grim Brother Jake, we thank you for your recent video submission of classic drive-in clips and movie trailers. Without question, these are the best selection of titles we've ever seen. However, only a small handful of these clips are suitable for mass consumption. The rest are far too stinky and pinky to be sent to our vast network of bloggers and web reviewers. We suggest in the future you spend the extra funds and resubmit your project after substantial color correction. Sincerely, Don.
Color correction?
Color correction.
See his fucking letter.
Color correction? Ron, you want to color correct something? Color correct my God!
I think the naughty list is as surprising as the nice list. Number 10, this is also very surprising, since we have released a lot of lovely sexploitation films by Mark Ahlberg and Torgny Wickman, we have the crappy director Heinz Arland with two films on the top 10 naughty list. And this one is then K-Familien, the K dot 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 family, or Happy
the
Family
H
in
family.
English.
Yeah.
And it has no dialogue. It only has a voiceover. Oddly enough, the voiceover is done by Marie Forshaw, a.k.a. Maria Lynn, who was in all of those beautiful Mark Ahlberg films.
Yeah, that didn't make
But
it.
Only her voice.
Mm-hmm.
But in the lead, we have Anita Eriksson, who is in a bunch of films, also on cult picks, like five or six of them. I really love her looks. She really looks like she enjoys what she's doing. But we could never find her because Anita Eriksson is like someone being called John Smith in the UK.
Yeah.
It's impossible. Yeah. So if she's anyone has any clue of Anita Eriksson's whereabouts, do let us know.
Yeah. But yes, strange film for given just the quality of the copy and not the best of directions. And yet, for some reason, people keep coming. And here's the other thing about it. I don't think it's subtitled in English even.
No. It's not. Yeah. And what we have here is a piece of music for you guys who don't know Swedish. And it's a pretty trippy, improvised, jazzy striptease number.
Thank you. Number nine.
Swedish Confessions.
Swedish Confessions, a.k.a. Jag vill ligga med din älskare mamma.
I want to sleep with your lover, mommy.
Yeah, that's what you did in 1977. By André Fehr, who had a interesting background. He was born in Romania during the First World War. This is how far back we go. Yeah. And he moved around quite a bit, and he ended up in Sweden, where he made sex films in his 60s.
Yeah.
And these were, is it right to say that they were the kind of last hurrah of the 35mm sex film era before video took over?
Definitely, yes. I mean, he was a bit too late. This one is from 1977, which is fine. But the others are from the 80s, and they were shown theatrically in Sweden and in France, where they were co-produced, many of them with French actors as well. But this is the only really Swedish one, and I think this is his best one of the ones I've seen, anyway.
Mm.
And also it because it stars another lovely, lovely actress who also centerfold. Calling herself Barbara Scott, but her real name was Barbro Klingered, and she's also in the notorious Breaking Point by Warner Wibenius,
which will probably never be released, but but equally lovely, a favorite of mine, and I'm not much for blondes, Anne Magle, who did quite a few Danish sex comedies, Country Life with Torgny Wickman, and The Dria Doctor, which never saw the light of day.
That the Dream Doctor, on Cult Picks. That we restored it from the basically the camera
working
negative.
Print,
oddly enough. And we have Jack Frank, who's also a favorite of ours, who's in a bunch of films from Sweden. Who's I would say he's the only Swedish stud from porn.
True.
And then we should do a whole segment on Jan-Olof Rydqvist, as we have a friend who has been researching him for the last 20 years, I think.
The weird man, Mr. X.
Ugly, and in private life, a neo-Nazi, very unsavory, very yucky guy. And he's the brains behind the heist in this film. Calling himself Mr. X. And he was also Mr. X in Wide Open, which we also have. Which
talk is about getting typecast.
Yeah.
The film would have probably been even higher because we've got two versions of it, which is the original version and the longer director's cut.
Yes.
Both popular, but it's the X version that is on here on the naughty list. So we've spoken about Jan-Olof Rydqvist. Shall we have a listen to him?
Jag tog nog han blev blåst. Och jag blev lite för smart. Romeo! Det gjorde rätt i att ta hennes pengar.
Number 8, Sex World from 1978. And I would say, what's not to like about this film? I love myself science fiction. I love sex films. I love parodies and spoofs. Mm-hmm. And this is actually inspired by, or a spoof of, or a ripoff of Westworld from 73, the one with Yul Brynner, and Future World from 1976. Mm-hmm. And there was a TV series, wasn't it, like last year, year before?
Yeah, HBO or Max, as you know. Did one.
So that was the same idea, but it's basically a resort where you go and you get all your dreams fulfilled, but these like robots, these sex animatronics can do it for you. And I would say 1978, a good year for porn. We have Leslie Beauvais, Sharon Thorpe, Annette Haven, and John Leslie in the leads.
Yes.
Lovely.
And as so many, we've got it in two different versions. Not the porn without porn version. I don't know how fun that would be, but it's science fiction, who knows. But we've got an R-rated and an X-rated version, both from Vinegar Syndrome, beautifully restored, I should say. They do amazing. Important. They do God's work, genuinely, when it comes to rescuing these old films.
For sure. And I happen to be particular to theme tunes with lyrics from these kinds of films. And there are so many of them. oddly enough, someone really put an effort and time into making the songs.
Number 7, Teenage Fantasies 2 from 1980. Yeah. The name is?
René Bond.
Bond, René Bond. Yes.
My name is Bond, René Bond. Exactly, yeah.
I try to cue you up
yeah,
for that
we,
joke.
Yeah, we have done now, is it? Have we done two or three theme weeks with her?
At least two theme weeks, yeah. One of which maybe was a double, but we've got more René Bond. We've got René Bond until, the cows come home, I think.
Yeah, there's so much. I think at least three more René Bond theme weeks, but you can never get much René Bond.
But this
is also interesting, I think, because this, and we will also come to that, is not the original. It's a sequel. And we have another film on our list, which is also a sequel. And I don't know, why do they go for the sequels and not the original movie?
It's a funny, silly, erotic thing that shows off René's... many talent, but in particular, her oral skills.
A couple of years ago, people said that to do a deep throat thing was the best. But I don't think that how it looks is the best. I think how it feels is the best way. And I do that real good.
In number 6, we've got a triple D.
Debbie Does Dallas. And for the number one spot for 2023, I would have guessed this would be the one for on the naughty list.
Mm-hmm.
Because Debbie Does Dallas is a real classic.
Real classic,
in
yes.
Erotica from the golden age of porn.
Mm-hmm.
So
one of the fastest selling VHS tapes of all time as well, I believe. It's up there with Deep Throat and Behind the Green Door. And it's not from Vinegar Syndrome, actually, for a change. It's from our good friends at Echelon. I should give them a shout out. Who normally give us films like Halloween and Shivers and Dr. Cyclops. But this one was on their list. So, we'll take
that.
Let's
do it. Yeah. So it's a bunch of cheerleaders and they have to finance one of their friends' trip. Mm-hmm. And they go about it in their own way.
Yes. Go Texas Cowgirls.
You know, I don't think I'm going to be able to make it to Texas in just 2 weeks.
I think we should all help raise the money.
I got a great idea. Why don't we all work hard to raise money so we can go to Texas with them?
Debbie, we could boost your morale.
Gee, it would be wonderful if you could all be with me.
Next best thing to be in Texas Cowgirls ourselves.
Yahoo!
Well, if we're all going to be there, we've got to decide what we're going to do right now.
We are in the top 5, and we've hit another vintage year, 1983, which seemed to have been a second golden age of erotic cinema.
Yeah, and this is interesting because it's a film from our Bob Chin week, also courtesy of Vinegar Syndrome, and with Hypatia Lee as a... operator, is that the name
telephone operator.
Telephone operator, and she and her colleagues are about to be fired because they are going to be replaced by a computer. But it seems that our audience are very much into Bob Chin and Hypatia, which we'll find out a little bit more about. Shall we listen to the very first scene from the film?
Sorry, all operators are tied up at the moment. If you hold the line, the first available operator will assist you.
But this is a great film, just to wrap it up, because it's also got greats like Kay Parker, personal favorite of mine, Eric Edwards, My Corner, so Shauna Grant. Lots and lots to like about it. No surprises in the top five. No. But number four, staying with Bob Chin.
Staying in 1983. Staying with Hayapatia Lee. Number four and number five are from the same year, same director, same star.
Indeed they are. And this is Sweet Young Foxes, which in addition also has Eric Edwards again, but unlike the other one, Cindy Carver and Cara Lott.
I care a lot.
Care a lot. We care a lot. Yeah. And it's about a college freshman, which is Miss Lee, who is back at home from school for the summer, very bored, boyfriend's not around, so she's going to discover herself. And what do you know it? She discovers a thing or two about sex along the way.
Indeed. And we have, again, a theme tune which has lyrics. They are singing about sweet young foxes. And this will also lead us into number three, which is also about a person wanting to find herself. Yes, this is about self-discovery.
It is indeed.
Our members are really into deep thoughts about life and what's the meaning of it all.
Yes, and they're very religiously bent as well. They clearly take to God.
Definitely, yeah.
So in number three, it is a three. Pretty Peaches 3. Not Pretty Peaches 1 or 2, but Pretty Peaches 3. Again, no spoiler, but I can tell you that number two and number one on the top 10 list are not Pretty Peaches 1 and 2. This is the only peach on the list.
They're not pretty at all, I would say.
No. So yeah, why
Alex Dorenzi, I think this is your table, right?
It is, yes. He did all three films, but with different actresses for each one, and they're all worth checking out. But this one has Keisha, Tracy Adams in it. And it's about same character, Peaches, though, who is a bit of a candide, sort of on a journey of discovery in all three films. And in this film, she seeks spiritual enlightenment at the advice of her lesbian doctor and crosses paths with an evangelist. And I think this is Alex Dorenzi's way of having fun and poking a satirical jab at the church. Of course, Alex Dorenzi was a very mainstream documentary filmmaker, so he had quite a broad range, and he wasn't, saying anything bad about Bob Chin, but he definitely tried to pack in ideas in between the fucking, and he did it very well. And Pretty Peaches is very good. Beautifully restored again by Vinegar Syndrome. Shout out to them, as always. So it's a very bizarre world of sex with an evangelist. And I think best way to appreciate it, let's hear Jamie Gillis as the televangelist Billy Bob.
Without your help, I can't go on. Without your help, even God can't go on. It's your generous support. Your generous support which allows us to do our work and God's work and holy work in general. So I ask you, I won't tell you how deep to go into your pockets. Ask God for that knowledge. But if God tells you to send $10, don't send $5.
In number two, we have a beautifully restored 4K version of an all-time classic, praised by audiences and critics, and who are we trying to fool?
In surround sound, yes.
In surround sound. 3D. Another bizarre version of tastes popping up here, but we don't judge.
No.
We just know.
Well, we do. We do.
We
actually
do.
We do. We this do. Is also by the scumbag Heinz Arland.
In second place, The Summer with Vanya, which, having said that, it does feature the Stockholm Archipelago, which is a theme week in the making that we've talked about a lot.
You're so right. Yeah. And this is also a late one, 1980, where we see that VHS is around the corner.
Mm-hmm. But, and again, I don't know what the source material was for it, and I don't think we'll ever restore it. Again, it has no subtitles. People, English-speaking people, unless you are the hurdy-gurdy Nordic types, you will not understand the dialogue. Not that there's much to understand, but yeah, watch the archipelago and the human flesh on display.
And watch Finnish actress Oili Virta doing a very unbelievable performance as the lead actress, Vanya.
Vanya.
It's an oddity. I would say probably a Swedish audience, probably a notorious film that they heard about and they really wanted to see.
Yeah.
Because otherwise I can't find any reason to watch it.
Ja, men det är Anders fel. Han är alltid så svartsjuk på att prata med dig. Men det låter skönt. Om du lovar att inte tala om det för Anders.
Jo då.
Jag blir så kåt när du säger så. Jag undrar hur du är i sängen. Lena säger att du är det bästa hon har haft. Du försöker bara kåta upp mig.
Är du naken?
Ja, nästan. Och så nanerar jag i sängen om du vill veta mer. Jag är redan alldeles blöt. Nu får vi snart sluta prata. Annars orkar jag inte upp i sängen efteråt.
And finally, ladies and gentlemen, and those of different denominations, we have reached number one in a top 10 naughty list of Cult Picks 2023. And unless we cut this into two episodes, coming to the conclusion of a very, very long episode, one of the longest ones we've done recently. But we can tell you that this was no surprise to me because it kept coming up. And if you've hadn't your eye on the top 10 list, which is on the website, updated weekly, I have yet to do it today, but it will happen. This film has been on there pretty much since we first uploaded it. And the funny thing is, we kind of uploaded it as an afterthought.
Yeah.
It wasn't a film that was prominent in our archive or, you know, in our minds. It just kind of was. And we were like, well, we have it. Shouldn't we put it up? Yeah. Why not? See what happens.
And also it includes scenes from a bunch of films that we do have on Cult Picks and that we do own the rights.
Sure. Yeah. So you will have seen half of them already if you watched all of our bigger films. But it is technically our most recent film because it came out the year 2000, only 24
years old. We
have
a cutoff year, 30 years old films have to be. But we also say that documentaries that are newer than that about
are allowed.
Films, yeah.
Yep. But this is, of course, Den Svenska Synden 2000, The Swedish Sin, which has a compilation of 18 films spanning from 1969 all the way to year 2000. And this is with the fun bits from the films, not the boring dialogue bits. But it gives context on them, a bit of background historical information. And it's got one of the most lackluster voiceovers. There is no enthusiasm, let alone acting. We have to ask Micke Beck about it at some point because it is the famous Swedish director. Porn director, cut it together. We kind of guess while you have it on. Not a background film for a party, background film for an orgy maybe, or...
Maybe,
you know,
yeah. But also, I mean, image quality-wise, I don't know. This was really surprising to me. I think it's fun.
It is the number one of the top 10 naughty list of Cult Picks films in 2023, The Swedish Sin.
Hey,
Do we have any other thoughts today?
No, except we hope to be back very, very soon with the wonderful Lisa Petrucci talking about the Mike Vrani Memorial Month that's been running and will keep running on Cult Picks all throughout January. So do check it out. There are two films every day, at least one of which is a new film that hasn't been seen or hasn't been uploaded before. So thank you to all of those of you who have been watching, writing in, enjoying it. We've had tons of new members. Welcome to all of you. We hope you're listening to Cult Picks Radio. And we are doing the newsletter once again. We've had the first issue last week and next issue coming out next week. So we're going to try to become more regular. But for now, at least for me, that is all. Over and out. Django Nudo.
And also from me, Das Motel.
Sex world, go on a spree.
Your guide on the ride out to sex world. We know that you're looking forward to your visit to sex world, and believe me, we're looking forward to having you with us.